Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our sermon hymn. It is Lord, Speak to Me. It is found on page number 450 in the red hymnal.
If I say the phrase burning bush, who comes to mind? Moses. Moses, the deliverer of God's people, the patriarch of the faith who led Israel up out of Egypt at the Lord's instruction. And it all began at the burning bush for Moses. Though his life was full of intrigue up until that point, floating down the river when he was a young little baby and then being raised in Pharaoh's home, Moses' purpose in life didn't really come to fruition or to direction that he could understand until God spoke with him at the burning bush. Exodus 3, verse 10, God says to Moses, "Go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And that response, that immediate response of Moses was eager. He was ready to go, wasn't he? No. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" As we read the passage from Exodus 4, 10 through 17, note that Moses is still at the scene of the burning bush. He's still there conversing with God. And in these verses, we learn why. Why Moses believed he should not be the one to go to Pharaoh as God's messenger. So Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Moses. One of the most well-known names of the Bible. And to think, if Moses had had his way, we wouldn't know anything about him. He believed he was not only just a common, ordinary man, he knew he had weaknesses. He had issues and problems that he could not go and be God's messengers. How often have you been there like Moses? How often have you been asked to lead or to serve, to volunteer, and your first reaction is to list off why you believe you shouldn't go, you shouldn't say yes? You speak about the certain lack of abilities that you may be missing, and it prevents you from saying yes. Now, when we're asked to serve and do something, there can be many conflicting thoughts and emotions that can rise within us when we're asked and challenged, that we can often feel we're inadequate, we're unprepared. Like Moses did, we can scrutinize our faith, our faults, and our shortcomings. And any time you find yourself in such a situation in the future, I challenge you to remember that we are all just like common, ordinary Moses. Moses. And of course, Moses is just one of countless people in the Bible. You heard many of their names from our little children. Just one of many. And if you want to read that who's who or Google it in today's world, you can find many common, ordinary people. I'm just going to share three with you, or four. Shiphrah and Puah. They're two midwives who dared to defy mighty, mighty Pharaoh because they answered to a higher power. From Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose name were Shiphrah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that a baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God. It did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? And the midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Two common, ordinary women, because of their faith in God, God equipped them in faith to defy Pharaoh's order. Bezalel. Bezalel from Exodus chapter 31. He was a simple architect to whom God gave the job of a lifetime. He was involved in designing and constructing and creating all of the parts of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. A common, ordinary architect, but equipped by God to respond and to build the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Or there's Tychicus, whoever you might want to pronounce that. A courier. He was the one that delivered holy messages. He was a co-worker of Paul that ran and delivered messages from Paul to other places. a common, ordinary man. He found that he could run, he could walk, he could deliver messages. Great and small needs, great and small people. There are countless examples throughout the Bible of common, ordinary people being chosen and equipped by God. If you pay attention to what we read from Exodus chapter 4, God was going to equip both Moses and Aaron. He was not just going to send them and leave them alone. He was with them. All the people of the Bible, comparatively ordinary people whom the world might call nobodies. Think about the 12 disciples of Jesus. None of them had lofty credentials in their roles. Most came from very modest backgrounds with little distinction, an eclectic collection with run-of-the-mill talents. None of them had a theological degree. None fit the mold of a rising religious star in their day. Yet those 12 became the chosen vehicles to carry Jesus' timeless message to the people. Peter and John, they did not have any religious academic credentials. They were common, ordinary men. And that's the point. God didn't need academic credentials. All he needed were people willing to follow. God would qualify the unqualified. God decided to use a group outside of educated or religious establishment to be his core 12 disciples. God's pattern of using ordinary people, it's common. Paul states this as in his letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. The Lord chose and the Lord equipped 12 common, ordinary men to serve as his disciples. And the Lord continues to choose and equip common, ordinary people like you and I to serve him today. If you think about that, the truth is God chooses ordinary people far more often than not. And maybe that's because there are so many of us to be chosen. I came across an ancient Chinese legend when talking about this theme. A group of elderly cultured gentlemen met often to exchange wisdom and to drink tea. Each host tried to find the finest and the most costly varieties to create exotic blends that would arouse the admiration of his guests. When the most venerable and respected of the group entertained, he served his tea with unprecedented ceremony, measuring the lees from a golden box. The assembled men praised this exquisite tea. And the host smiled and said, "The tea you have found so delightful is the same tea our peasants drink. I hope it will be a reminder to all that the good things in life are not necessarily the rarest or the most costly. Ordinary is good. Ordinary is good. We can be assured that as God knew the abilities and the weaknesses of Moses, he knows our talents. He knows our weaknesses too. God knows the abilities of each one of us that he placed inside of us when we were conceived. When God called Moses, Moses brought up his weakness, the inability to speak, but God saw a much broader picture. God knew of the leadership skills, the strength of character, and the strength of faith of Moses. As a congregation, we are constantly looking for Christian servants, teachers, committee members, and leaders. God can enable you to do what he asks of you when you trust in him and respond to his call upon you. End of sermon. Until I shared in confirmation this morning, I was going to be gone next Sunday, and I hadn't lined up somebody to sub in confirmation. I was going to find somebody tomorrow. One of the confirmands in class went down and recruited somebody to sub for me already. And that person came up and said, "Do you need a sub next Sunday?" I said, "Yeah." And they explained what happened, and it's already lined up. The person responded, not knowing anything about the lesson, because God called them to that time. God is active beyond our imagination. Praise be to Him. Amen. Now the end of the sermon. God calls us to share of ourselves. God calls us to share of offering our tithes for the glory of His kingdom. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive. But before we do that, we have to have the prayer of dedication. God, we thank You for the many blessings, the abilities, everything that You give us. And in return, we come to our time of worship and this time where we give our tithes and our offerings to glorify You and to share Your word for the praise of You and the peace of Your people. In Christ we pray. Amen.
At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward again for our second offering. This is the fourth Sunday of the month, so since the fourth Sunday of the month, all of this offering is going to our Imagine Your Faith Building Capital campaign. I have a report on behalf of Building Committee this morning. I consider myself a junior, very junior and ordinary member of Building Committee. I say junior because I have been a member of this church for 3.5 years, and I've realized on working with Building Committee, there are so many veterans and people on the committee that have been around so much longer than I. And they have become extraordinary through their knowledge and personal experiences with the church. So God works in many ways. So on behalf of the Building Committee, I want to share with you the following congregation, that following the congregation's approval of the revised project budget on September 17th, the Building Committee met with 4 staff members of Beilharz Architects on Friday morning, October 6th. Jerry Overmeyer, the senior project lead with BioHARS, wanted to review all of the details of the proposed building plan. As examples, some of the details included the location of the two new restrooms along the east side of the first floor hallway. Another example is the type of automatic opening systems on the exterior entrance doors. And also, another example is modifications to the heating and cooling system. There are many other things we discussed. Jerry also discussed possible modifications to improve the lighting system in the sanctuary. At the end of the meeting, Jerry estimated that the designers of BioHARS would need approximately 2.5 months to complete the initial draft of the building plans. In addition, on this past Thursday, October 19th, some members of the building committee met with Mr. and Mrs. David Hauter of Souter Worship Seating to discuss location modifications and improvements to the sanctuary pews. The building committee has scheduled a meeting with BioHARS architects on Friday, November 17th, to discuss the progress of the building plans and any issues which may need to be addressed at that time. So, by the grace of God, we are moving forward into the design phase of our building project. Please pray for God to bless the architectural design work. Finally, please also pray for us as members of the building committee that God may grant us wisdom and discernment as this project continues to move forward. Thank you. So at this time, let us rise if we are able, and let us sing our closing hymn. It is verses 1 and 2 of Set My Soul on Fire. It is found on page number 294 of your red hymnals. Please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then we will have our benediction and song. And our benediction and song will be verse 3 of Set My Soul Afire. So let us sing.
And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.